Well, good morning. Good to be back at Grace Bible Church. Good to be here with a young pastor. 1978, I think it was, I was a student at Liberty Baptist College, made my way up to State Line and met Herm Fisler. Herm was young 45 years ago, all right? 45 years ago, I was young, he was young, but good to have a young pastor here this time. And Brother Herm, what a privilege to be back. I was looking, we've been here so many times. So it took me 7 years to come up with some more messages that you hadn't heard, probably. So we're looking forward to a great week together. Debbie is here this morning. Debbie, stand up right there and smile at the folks. Now, give my wife a hand. Would you do that? She's the best. Yeah. She's still traveling with me, reluctantly, but she's still traveling with me. But we're tickled and delighted to be here, and thank you for this opportunity. Numbers chapter 13 in your Bible. Numbers chapter 13. Israel is on the verge of the promised land. They had sent out 12 tribes, prominent men from every tribe, strategizing about how to occupy the land that God had given them. This was their chance to realize God's purpose and their deliverance from Egypt. Israel had a date with destiny, and this was it. This was the opportunity of a lifetime. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. Stand, if you would, for the reading of the word, please. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way south the mountains and see the land and what it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, many or few, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. Someone said that life consists of, life is 10% of what happens to us, and 90% of how we respond to what happens to us. Life is 10% of what happens, 90% of how we respond. And there's three responses to opportunity, and we find three categories of people here in the book of Numbers. We've got the wimps, the whiners, and the warriors. The message this morning, wimps, whiners, warriors. Father, have a word in season. May every heart be challenged. We anticipate your speaking voice and blessing for Jesus' sake. All God's people, say it as you're seated. That means say amen. All right, you can be seated. Now notice, first of all, the wimp response. The wimp response, look at Numbers 13, 27. And they told him that they'd been over and spied it out. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Canaanites, by the coast of Jordan. Look down at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. The wimp response. What you see determines what you do. What you see determines what you pursue. The warriors saw a land flowing with milk and honey. Remember, they brought back that cluster of grapes so huge they had to put it on a stick, put it on their shoulders. They were carrying it into the camp. One man said the grapes were so big you could take the pulp out and use the skins for a shower cap. That's a pretty good sized grape right there. You're not going to find that at Kroger's or Sunnyside or anywhere else, brother. I'm telling you, this was a tremendous, tremendous thing. Now, the warriors saw a land flowing with milk and honey. The whiners saw better days back in Egypt, but the wimps saw giants and problems. All they could see was opposition, walled cities, Amorites, Canaanites, sons of Anak, giants. They were scared to death of these giants. Somebody said that faith makes giants look like grasshoppers. Faith makes giants look like grasshoppers, but unbelief makes grasshoppers look like giants. Now, they had divine promises. They had seen divine performances. They knew the divine presence, but they were afraid. And you should be afraid of your failure, because failure, or fear rather, always brings defeat. You know what the wimps did? They looked at their own weakness. Now, there were 600,000 soldiers. That's more than we got, I think. 600,000. And the Bible tells us here that they saw themselves like grasshoppers. Insignificant, weaklings, failures, utterly depraved, no help, no hope, God help us. And they had the fear of man. The fear of man. Now, this guy Butcher said this. He said, if people were half as scared of offending God as they are of offending man, we would have multitudes of red-hot Christians. So we got a lot of fear of man going on nowadays. People are afraid to post anything on Facebook lest they get canceled. If you ain't getting canceled, you ain't saying nothing. I'll tell you that from personal experience. But we got the fear of man. We got the fear of the future. What in the world's going to happen? We got the fear of change. Lots and lots of Christian churches afraid of change, paralyzed by fear. But the Israelites, they chose to die in the wilderness rather than go forward. And I believe the strategy of the devil is to take the fight right out of you. How many people come to church, Brother Lynn, Sunday after Sunday, not to learn anything new, but only to hear confirmed what they've already been taught? Can I say something to you? Do you search the scripture to learn, or do you search the scripture just to reinforce what you already know? Is the sum total of truth wrapped up in what I have experienced or what you have experienced? Is that it? I have people say, well, Brother Harold, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. Can I just say something to you? There's nothing new to God, but there's a whole ocean of truth that would be new to us if we had open, teachable, humble, childlike hearts. Better quit reading the Bible through the lens of tradition. You better start reading the Bible with an open heart to be taught by God Himself. One reason churches are in decline is because of the lack of spiritual hunger. And I want to say this, once you stop growing, you start going backward. Look, when you fail to reach out for more, you're going to end up with less. And one of the greatest dangers of growing old is you quit growing. Just rehearsing the same old, same old. Some churches, some conferences, all they want to hear is the same people saying the same thing, singing the same song in the same way, and there's a fear of change. But if your soul is not expanding, it's shriveling. If you're not hungry for more, you're going to end up with less. And if you don't reach out for more, you're going to stay exactly where you are. And Israel chose to stay put rather than move forward. They were afraid of change. The average church in North America has 68 people on Sunday morning. And I say it's fear of change that makes people afraid to learn new truth. And I'm not talking about strange doctrine here, brother. I'm talking about fresh truth, fresh wind, fresh fire, and a fresh touch from God Himself. You know, if you're going to learn anything, you're going to have to unlearn some of the stuff you should never have learned. I believe a learner is somebody who is willing to unlearn what he never should have learned in order to learn what he should have learned in the first place. Great fear, the wimp response. Listen to this quote. He who loses wealth loses much. Can anybody resonate with that on a stock market report right there? He who loses wealth loses much. He who loses a friend loses more, but he that loses courage loses all. You know what courage is? It's confidence in the character of God in seasons of distress. One man said, we are continually faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as insoluble problems. Now, these people were afraid of the giants. I just met a woman at our couples prayer advance this weekend. Her father, I think she told me her father was the coach of the Boston Celtics and Bill Russell and all that bunch. And this lady was taller than me. I said, how tall is your father? Because those basketball guys, they are giants. And the children of Israel saw these giants, and they were terrified. They were terrified. And you know, we all got some giants in our lives, do we not? What are the giants in your life? Unbelief, that's a great giant. Selfishness, addiction, carnality, besetting sin, anxiety. Yeah, well, we got all kinds of giants. Oh, what is the response to the giants you're facing? Well, there was the wimp response, but notice second, the whiner response, spelled W-H-I-N-E-R. The whiner response. Look at Numbers 14, verse 1. Look at this, Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the people lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. They're prophesying their own doom right here, this negative talk. Would to God we had died in Egypt. Oh, look at this. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, blaming God, to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, well, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Now, the whiner response, all they could see were difficulties. They were blinded by unbelief. They were preoccupied with difficulties, and they had this pent-up frustration. So what did they do? They criticized Moses. Yeah, he's to blame. Which was unjust and unreasonable. And instead of ascribing fault to the unbelief in their own hearts, instead of ascribing fault to the 10 faithless spies' evil report, they attacked Moses, which was really an attack on God. Let me just say something to you. You cannot learn from people you don't respect. You cannot learn from people that you do not honor. And God told them the land was excellent. God promised to guide them. God promised to drive out the heathen. And he commanded them to go up and possess it. But what happened? The wimps listened to the spies' report, and they murmured against Moses. You know what murmuring is? Murmuring is complaining to people who can't do anything about it. They listened to these 10 faithless cowards instead of the 2 brave believers. Now, the consequences of listening to an evil report. Do you hear evil reports all the time, or is it just me that hears evil reports all the time? You know what the consequences are? They became disheartened. They were distressed. They were up all night. They lifted up their voices to God. They cried and wept and carried on. Is it any wonder they were distressed? Listening to the wrong people always results in confusion. And listening to slander incites you to murmur. Did you know that listening to an evil report can cause criticism to come out of your mouth? When you hear something about somebody, it might not be substantiated, but if you're not careful, you can just kind of pass this on. And you know, after listening to this evil report, they were ready to select a new leader. It was mutiny on the Moses, man. They're going to get rid of him. Let us get a new leader and take us back into bondage. Can you imagine? A crowd that preferred, rather than go forward, they wanted to go backward. I got a little announcement for you here. I know we're in Pennsylvania, Dutch country. I got a little announcement here this morning. Mayberry RFD is gone, and she ain't coming back. Ain't B's gone. Otis died of cirrhosis of the liver. Barney and Andy ain't here no more. I don't know where Opie's at, but can I just say something to you? If we want to retro back and to live in a culture that doesn't exist, we can. If we want to go back. But I'm here to tell you, God wants us to go forward and make progress in these latter days. Now here's the wimp response. Here they are, they're terrified. And you know what courage is? It's faith in action. It's faith in action. Cowardice is faith in defeat. The Jew talked about murmurers and complainers. Murmurers and complainers walking in their own lust. Now, I went to high school, Randolph Henry High School in Charlotte County, Virginia, and graduated in 1975. We had a chapter of the FFA, Anybody know what the FFA stands for? Yeah, Future Farmers of America. There was a church that started up 30 miles from my house. They had a chapter of the FFA as well. Future Pharisees of America. All the time complaining, all the time murmuring, all the time finding fault, all the time nitpicking everything, tempting to death. I'm just telling you. Remember in the Gospels, the woman who anointed Jesus, and the people murmured against her for anointing the Son of God. Remember that? You know, every church has resident critics. Every movement has resident critics. Criticize the message. Criticize the messenger, which is really criticizing the maker in the long run. Somebody said, criticism is the death rattle of a non-achiever. Criticism is the death rattle of a non-achiever. Have you ever noticed the people who are all the time carping and faulting them about everything? Have you ever noticed they never make a contribution to the cause? Have you picked up on this? And I want to just say something to you, that Bill McLeod, who came to our men's prayer events years and years ago, he said this. He said, judging and criticizing is the favorite indoor sport of Christians. Judging and criticizing, the favorite indoor sport of Christians. Great men talk about ideas, small men talk about people. The word the devil means diabolos. You know what that means? Slanderer. Satan's name is diabolos. He is a slanderer. Now, James chapter 3, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom doesn't come from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. A critical spirit may not be a sign of discernment. Could very well be a sign of the demonic, because Satan is a slanderer. Now the Bible says, speak not evil one of another. Mindless, careless, derogatory, speech. Oh, brother, I'll tell you what. That little member we got caged in by our teeth and lips. One guy called it the little red devil. J. Harold Smith said the tongue is so hot that God had to put it in a wet solution, because if he didn't, it would burn our heads off. And the Bible says that little red member can be set on fire of hell. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, brother, listen. You say, well, what is a dirt devil? No, the dirt devil, not the one down at the Ace Hardware. A dirt devil is a religious individual who can siphon up dirt on the best of saints. Just putting it right out there. Now in Genesis, Satan slandered God to man. He said to Adam, hath God said? He distorted the words of God, defamed the character of God. He slandered the integrity of God and attacked the motives of God. He's a slanderer. But in the book of Job, what is he doing now? He's slandering man to God. Well, the only reason Job's serving you is because you got a hedge around him. Take that away and he'll curse you right to your face. He prejudged Job's motives. He's only serving you for what you can get. The whiner response, just complaining, is it not easy? Now, brother and sister, is it not easy to catalog the faults of other people? Is it not easy to look for the blemishes and the defects and to rehearse the failures of it? Is it not easy to repeat things we don't know to be true? You know what slander is? Slander is the straw that siphons the dregs of depravity from the bottom of the human heart. The whiner response. Somebody said the tongue is never satisfied. It must be crucified. Oh, my dear brother, the whiner response. I'll tell you what. We just came through this couple's advance, and it was good. God spoke to us, refreshed us, helped us, helping us in our home to speak positive, constructive, building, words, the whine response, the wimp response. But let's get to the positive, the warrior response. The warrior response. Now look in chapter 13, verse 30. Look at this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it." And old Caleb, what a guy, that guy. You know, he's 85 years old, his strength had not abated. Man, what kind of barley green was he taking? You know what I'm saying? I mean, sign me up. I mean, if y'all got any of what he had, give it to me. I need it, man. He said, "Let us go up at once." You know, the wimps saw the giants. The whiners saw the garlics and leeks back in Egypt, but the warriors saw the goodness of God in the land of the living. Whiners focus on what they're going through. Warriors focus on what they're going to. Let me tell you about Caleb. He detached himself from the naysayers and the fearmongers and the unbelievers. All my dear brethren, wimps focus on what is. They're looking around. Man, the economy is crashing. We're $33 trillion in debt. We are. They ain't no way out of this. But they're looking at all this all the time. The whiners are focusing on what was. Man, I remember the good old days. But the warriors are focusing on what can be. They're looking ahead. Now, brother and sister, we better quit looking at the way things are. We better start looking at the way things can be. And I'm going to give you three characteristics of a warrior from the life of Caleb. I like this guy. Caleb had three things that all of the rest of them lacked. Number one, he had faith. Say that out loud. Caleb had. Say it one more time. Caleb had. Say it like you mean it. Caleb had. That's right. We're well able to overcome it. Wow. Whew. Man, he had a Social Security check, and he said, "We're well able. We are well able to overcome it." I say the wimps are preoccupied with fear. Whiners preoccupied with fussing, but warriors preoccupied with faith. You know what faith is? Deliberate confidence in the character of God in times of crisis. Warriors view obstacles as unrealized opportunities. Frank Rita said, "Faith is the conviction that God does not tell lies." Somebody said, "Faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength." Whatsoever is not of faith is, Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is. All right, look, act like you're from the South. Whatsoever is not of faith is. That is terrible. Say it loud, real loud. Whatsoever is not of faith is? A little better. Non-expectancy is sin. Unbelief is failing to believe God is. You know God's greatest pleasure? God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes back, will he even find any faith on the earth anyhow?" That was a real searching question. God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. God's greatest grief is to be doubted. Now I got one more verse for you. You got to see this one. Numbers 14:24. Look at this one right here. 14:24. "But my servant Caleb," God said, "because he had another spirit with him," another spirit with him, "and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Let me tell you about Caleb. He had a different spirit. He wasn't part of the herd. He wasn't part of the crowd. He surely didn't fit in with these 10 spies. He said, God said, "I'm going to bring him into the land." He was a man of vision, a man of passion. And you know, believing you actually possess what you ask for in prayer is not presumption. The Bible calls it faith. D.L. Moody said, "If God is your partner, make your plans big." You notice you got a bulldozer sitting back on there. Pastor Nathan told me you're going to get some more parking. Amen. If God is your partner, make your plans big. Caleb had faith. We're well able. He had confidence. Second, Caleb had fire. He had fire. He said, "Let us go up at once." He didn't say, "Hey, let's form a committee over here and get about 15,000 people over here to argue and to plot out a church. Let's form a committee." He didn't say nothing about any committee. He said, "Let us go up at once." I'm telling you, he had the fire, man. This guy is amazing. You know, there's two symbols for the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, wind and fire. On the day of Pentecost, the sound of a rushing mighty and tongues of whatever that is sitting on top of their heads. Remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road after, you know what they thought? You know what they thought? They had political aspirations that Jesus is going to set up the kingdom. Praise God. He's going to get rid of the Roman tyranny, and he's going to kick this bunch out, and he's going to set up his throne. They thought that Jesus was a political Messiah. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Now, he thought they were going to be a political Messiah. And what happens? The Messiah got crucified. That they had it all wrong. I mean, they had it all wrong. So after the whole fiasco, two of the disciples on the Emmaus Road, you know, they're walking along, and they're discouraged, and all of a sudden Jesus comes up incognito and says, "Why are you boys so sad?" And they said, "Hadn't you heard what happened?" And then they begin to rehearse the whole sorry spectacle. "Well, we thought that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom to Israel." And they just went on and on and on and on and on and told him the whole thing. And they didn't know it was Jesus because they couldn't see him. And when they quit talking, Jesus started talking. How many know it's a good thing to quit talking sometimes and let Jesus do some talking? And Jesus began to expound the things from the scriptures concerning himself. Wow. Jesus was preaching on Jesus from Genesis through the Old. That's one sermon I would have liked to have heard, expounding the things concerning himself. When they got there where they were going, the veil was lifted, and they recognized, wait, it is Jesus. It is true. He did resurrect. And he disappeared out of their sight. And you know what they said to each other? Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with him while he talked with us by the way? How many here this morning could use a little holy heartburn? Say amen right there. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt the powers of the world to come in your own heart. Maybe it's been a time, a season, since you've really sensed and felt the fire of God in your heart and the presence of God in your soul. I'm going to tell you, old Caleb, man, this guy, he had the fire. I just like this guy. He had a different spirit in him. And you know something? Fire warms, it lightens, it consumes, it purifies, it animates. And I want to say this, where there's holy fire, there's some holy longings, some holy desires, some initiative. Some sanctified ambition, some animation. Caleb, he had the faith, he had the fire. Let us go up at once. But number three, he had the fortitude. He had fortitude. He said, let us go up at once and let's take it. God's given it to us. Let's go get it. Now, Caleb was ready for a fight. Let me tell you about Caleb. He couldn't acclimate himself to the wilderness. His body was in the wilderness, but his heart was always in the promised land. And he just couldn't fathom trouncing around in the wilderness, putting in time for the rest of his life. Ian Paisley said the Israelites were like a cage full of canaries. A lot of activity, but no progress. Fluttering around, but getting nowhere. And just marching around in circles for 40 years. Can you imagine? Oh. I took my wife on a cruise back in the day, the Oasis of the Seas, largest cruise ship in the world at the time. Still is, I guess. Fifth floor, you walk 2.4 times around it, you walked a mile. That's how big that thing is. 2,000 plus staff, 6,000 people, but you're not crowded. It's huge. And in the middle of the promenade on the Oasis of the Seas, there's a carousel. A merry-go-round, a real merry-go-round, yeah. So my wife went down there, and here's this big old merry-go-round, and they got the pipe organ going, you know, boom, 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 the Church of God pipe organ, amen? Not the Church of the Brethren, I said the Church of God pipe organ is what I'm talking about, and they had that thing piped up, and the kids were on these horses and animals, you know, and it's going around in circles and going up and down. And every time they'd come around, the children would wave at mom and dad like they'd been on a far journey, and they'd just go around for another circle, and they'd come back around, and but they'd be waving like they hadn't seen them in a long time, like they'd made some progress, you know, and they just did this over and over, going around in circles, but going nowhere. And you know what? You know what? The people who died in the wilderness went in circles their whole life. But Caleb said, I ain't doing it. And I want to give you a little challenge here this morning. Some of us have been around for a while, but I want to tell you something. God wants us to have faith and fire and holy fortitude, and he wants us to accomplish something and make some progress and not just rehearse the victories of the past. Can I get a witness on that this morning? What in the world are we doing? I go to churches making no impact at all. I was in a church one time, 80,000 students at the University of Illinois, 80,000 from all over the world. Guess how many came to the church? Guess. None. No burden, no heart, paying missionaries to go somewhere else and doing diddly squat with the mission field that's come to us in our backyard. Can I say something to you? It's time for somebody to get a vision and a burden from God. I know y'all got a heart for the children's evangelism, hallelujah, and there's all kinds of people out there with all kinds of needs, and if the church had the fire of God, we would be reaching people that don't look like us, dress like us, smell like us, and vote like us. What are we doing? A showcase? What are we doing? Dressing up, coming in, sitting, listening. What are we doing? I'm just here to tell you, brother, I just had my birthday. Why y'all were calling out those birthdays right there? I just had mine. We won't go into it. October 3rd, 60. Do you realize I'm married to a woman who's drawing Social Security? Can you believe that? I said, I told her, I'm married to an old woman. She said, I'm married to an old man. That's what she told me. But you know what? It's not the mileage. We can still have the fire of God burning in our hearts. Do y'all believe that? Oh, brother, I'll tell you, Caleb was swimming upstream. I mean, he was against the grain, man. A dead fish can float with a current, but it takes a live one to swim against it. And it's a sin not to live up to our privileges. Listen up. The cities were great. God was greater. The walls were high. God was higher. The giants were big, but God was bigger. Praise the Lord. There's never been a wall too high for God. There's never been a city too great for God, and never been a giant too strong for God. And I want to tell you something. Your weaknesses are no match for the God of the impossible. We all got strengths and we all got weaknesses. How many know what your dominant strength is? How many know what your spiritual gift is? Does anybody know what your dominant strength is? Anybody? How many know what your dominant weakness is? You say, well, I got more than one. Okay, well, have you identified them? But your weaknesses are no match for the God of the impossible. You know what my Bible says, Brother Nathan? It says, but exhort one another, encourage one another, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the provocation of the wilderness. But with whom was God grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them who had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Then we see they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. The wimps and the whiners perished in the wilderness. But old Caleb and Joshua, the warriors, they got into the promised land. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, you got a choice about your destination, man. If you want to just meander around, cruise, coast on past history, past blessings, just kind of go around in circles. If you want to do that, you can. But I'll tell you one thing. I like old Caleb because he refused to kick the bucket out of the will of God in some blasted wilderness somewhere. No, sir, brother. He had the faith of God, had the fire of God, he had the fortitude of God in his heart. Now look, Warriors have a different reality because they operate on the basis of where they are, seated together in heavenly places in Christ. They operate on the basis of who they are. They're in Adam, they're in Christ, they're not in Adam. And they operate on the basis of what they already have. Everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Can I just say something to you this morning? Don't get sucked into the doomsday fatalism of evangelical and fundamentalist Christianity that says, well, Brother Harold, you know, we're just in the last days and it ain't gonna get no better. And don't polish the brass on a sinking ship. And the evil men are going to wax worse and worse. And apostasy is here. And, well, all of that is true. But the only problem is the apostate church is not the true church of Jesus Christ. There are evil men waxing worse and worse. Society is, it is on a crash course. But the church of the living God should not reflect the culture. They should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can stand up in our generation and be beams of light in a world of darkness by the grace of Almighty God. God's given us everything that pertains to life and godly. Warriors think different. They're not all the time sunk into listening to Fox News 24/7. Say amen right there. That's why some of y'all had to increase your medications. It's because you're absorbed in the latest and... I'm just telling you, you can't do nothing about it no how. Be better off to get in the prayer shack and meet and seek the face of God. Now listen, three responses to the challenges of life, and we all got them. Y'all got them. We got them. Yes, sir. The wimp response, whiner response. I tried both of them. No future there. The warrior response. And my dear people, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that set their foot in the promised land. You know what time it is? It's time to man up. Time to woman up. Time to Christian up. Time to teen up. Cast our fears on God and face these giants and get a different spirit on us. And you know what the spirit we need this morning is the Holy Spirit of God. I could more live the Christian life than it's impossible, but He's an expert, and that's why Jesus died, was to give us another one like himself, to live a life in us we could never live on our own. And you know, when we get filled with the Spirit of God, we can regain a right perspective. We're not poor mouthing. We're not complaining all the time. Brother, I'm telling you, we can get battle ready, suit up in the armor of God, pick up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts, and ask God for the fire and the fortitude to finish the course ablaze for God. And I've just determined by the grace of God, I don't want to say, somebody says, well, you're going to retire? I hope not. Somebody says, well, is Stephen, your son, who's working for you full time, is he going to take over? Well, I don't know, but I really ain't planning on going anywhere. Well, it's time to relax. I got all eternity to relax, man. What I'm telling you is this. I believe that God wants to send some Holy Ghost fire among people like me and maybe like you, that we could finish up the course here ablaze for Almighty God. Is anybody with me on this here this morning? Hope you're sick of the wilderness. Hope you'll never look back. Hope you quit talking about it and head forward by faith into the promised land. A victory that God's got for every one of us. Let's stand to our feet. Let's have a little prayer right here this morning. Man, thank the Lord for old Caleb. What an inspiration. Lord, thank you for this story. Lord, wimps, whiners, but the warriors. Now, Lord, instill some courage into some hearts here this morning, Lord. God, some people are battle weary. Lord, we're wore out. Facing stuff, dealing with stuff. It's exhausting. God, I pray this morning that you would reanimate and renew a right spirit within our hearts. Lord, that we could be like old Caleb, full of faith, not feeling, full of faith, full of fire, and full of fortitude. Lord, would you just encourage our hearts? I'm going to pray again. Heads are bowed. How many would say, Brother Harold, God talked to me this morning, and I'll tell you what. Man, I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate for a fresh spirit like Caleb had. What he had on him is what I need on me. And I don't want to be like the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, moaning and groaning. Man, Brother Harold, to be honest, I've been going through some stuff, and it's been tough. But I want a spirit like Caleb, and I need the fire of God. I need to place my confidence in God afresh, and I need the Holy Spirit to put fortitude and courage in my heart. How many would say, God talked to me this morning? Lift your hand this morning if God spoke to your heart along that line. Yeah, a lot of us. Amen. Lord, you see us. Lord, we need you, Lord. Lord, we're weak, but you're strong. Lord, we're insignificant, but you're everything. And Lord, you're bigger than the walls, bigger than the giants, higher than the walls, and greater than the cities that we're facing. Father, would you just encourage your people this morning, Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus, may this be a week of insight, revelation, victory, and progress. Lord, no more going in circles. But Lord, going forward with the wind of God at our back and the fire of God in our heart. So Father, bless your people. Thank you this morning for this chance. In Jesus' name. I think we have a